a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day. It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. And this morning, we wanted to start the show talking about blackberries, and Ton has done a bunch of research on how to make it as easy as possible for us. Ton, first of all, how do we select the best blackberries for Utah?
Well, if you're buying from local garden centers, you're usually just fine because they will carry varieties that are going to be cold hardy. Now, if you're shopping from a box store, you need to be careful on the types. And so the difficulty is that there are three general groups of blackberries, and there's been some hybridization and things, but the hardy blackberries for Utah are called upright and semi-upright or semi-erect blackberries, which are more cold hardy. And so the varieties that you find at the grocery store, like the Marionberries and the Boysenberries, Loganberry sometimes, are grown in the Pacific Northwest, and these are called trailing blackberries, and they grow right along the ground unless you trellis them. They're only hardy down to about 15 degrees. And so these Pacific Northwest varieties, when you go by that boysenberry syrup, are not suited except for maybe like St. George or Washington County on those warmer areas. And so you need to stick with what are called erect or semi-erect types.
Okay. And then how do people best manage blackberries?
Well, if blackberries are run along a fence, you just let them go. And the caller earlier, how you cut out the dead, that can help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're running them along a fence, because the canes will only live for about 2 years. The first year they grow out, and then the next year they flower and produce berries, and then they die. And so you have this cycle of 1 and 2 year old canes. And so after they've borne fruit and died, those canes come out, and the 1 year old canes will be next year's fruit. And the biggest mistake, even on these fence lines, that people will make is letting the new growth run 10 or 15 feet in either direction. But if you can let it go 5 or 6 feet, if you're on a fence and just tip prune it,
mm-hmm.
then the growth will go sideways from the branch, and you'll have a lot more compact plant, better fruit, and you could actually grow more of them because you're better using your space instead of letting those go a long way. Now, the best way to actually manage blackberries if you're growing them for fruit production is to trellis them. And there's two trellising systems depending on what you have. And so if you go to a garden center and see, say, Triple Crown, which is a popular variety, that's going to be a semi-erect. And the way it's going to be trellised is going to be different than maybe an upright, something like a Ouachita or a Navajo. So what I'm going to recommend doing is people, instead of me trying to explain the vagaries of these pruning systems and how to do it over the air, we will have a fact sheet up very quickly with the pruning or with the trellising systems so that you can see how to do it depending on the what type you're growing. But the important thing is to manage them throughout the season. It's not that it's a ton of work, but you need to cut out that old growth that produced last year's berries, and you need to tip prune a couple of times in the summer. And if you'll do that, I think people will have very productive blackberries.
So the biggest thing they usually do is cut them back too far, or?
Don't cut them back at all.
Okay.
And
it
so
takes a little bit of management.
It does. And so when you're walking along a street and you see somebody's fence or just an old area that the blackberries have gone wild, an individual plant can easily be 20 or 25 feet wide. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, you know, if you're going for a screen or something, but to maximize fruit quality and fruit production, you actually want to do some maintenance.
Right.
So I wanted to bring up really quick also is that there's a new series of blackberries coming out of Arkansas that are what we would call primocane varieties, or they bloom on this year's growth. And the advantage to them is that you can just cut them to the ground in mid-March, and they come up from the ground and send out their canes, and you get late summer into fall berries. Now, if you're in a colder area such as the Cache Valley or Heber, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of berries, but warmer areas of the Wasatch Front, the bench areas, you will get fall blackberries through September into October. And so like Primark Freedom is the one I would recommend because it is thornless. The other ones are not. But if you really like your blackberries, or say you're a small market grower, these are sometimes a little bit risky if we get early frost, but you could have your summer season on the blackberries and then have others like this Primark Freedom that will give you some late summer into fall berries. So those are also an option.
All right. Well, nice to have new varieties.
Yeah, it is.
And science changes things so much. I mean, it's amazing how much you can improve the cultivars.
It is. And so there several years ago, I had a neighbor who had bought blackberries and was very unhappy with them because they were too sweet and too big. And
really?
He wanted, yeah, and he wanted the wild ones that were a little more tart. And so, you know, there are people out there like that, but it's amazing the amount of research that goes in to being able to grow these well and to increase yields and to increase fruit quality. So, you know, the training that you would do on them for the trellising and pruning isn't complicated. It's just more that it needs to be done.
All right. I'm going to pick the sweet blackberries anytime.
Yes.
That's all
and
I'm
so
saying.
for some local varieties, if you wanted to try, you know, the one I usually recommend is Triple Crown, but mm-hmm. Navajo, Arapaho, Apache are all ones that you would find. If you live in colder areas, say that you live in a colder area of the Cache Valley or Heber, there's a couple of them out there that they might get away with. There's one called Chester that seems to do well in the Cache Valley. And then if it's even too cold for Chester, there's one called Illini Hardy. And this was developed, and it survives down to about minus 20 at least, but it is a thorny bugger. Mm. And when you pick in it, even with long sleeves and gloves, you will come away scratched up. But if you live in cold areas and you just have got to have those blackberries, the Illini Hardy is the one that will probably survive.
It's a tough sell for me.
Well, and it's that's
on those,
you know,
thorns.
I get questions quite a bit on from people saying, well, I live at high elevation in, you know, Uinta County, and or I live somewhere where just your Wasatch Front varieties won't work. And so I've got to be able to recommend something. And Chester is the first one I would try. But from there, the Illini Hardy, which it's just as tough as nails, but you really need appropriate clothing and things to manage it. But it will give you blackberries.
All right. And you can find out much more on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Caitlin is putting up an article on blackberry management for you there. You can give us a call with your questions, 801-575-8255. I'm taking a look at our text page, and it looks like it's not working again. It looks like it may be down. So you can also message us on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We'll be back with your questions next. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning. Taking your calls, 801-575-8255. And Anthony's reminding me, when you speak, there's a problem. Suddenly, it's not as big a problem. We are getting some of your texts now. Looks like they're about 30 minutes behind, but we'll start to get to your questions. And you can also send us a direct message on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Our listener who is sending us a message on the Facebook page, Diana, wants some help with her neighbor's lawn. She says that this person watered the lawn every day last fall. Pretty sure that he drowned it. It looks very dead. Is there something he's going to be able to do this spring to kind of bring it back to life?
It depends on a lot. You know, if it was just overwatering and they don't overwater anymore, it should recover.
Okay.
But it's pretty hard to drown a lawn out completely unless you just completely turn it into a swamp. You know, if you're walking on it and slushing through it, you know, when you hear that squish, squish of your feet, then even then it won't immediately just die. And so my advice would be to wait for spring and see if it comes back, and then try to talk the neighbors into not watering so much.
Yeah, down. All right. Well, it's good that there's hope for that. Ed is messaging us from Orem. He wants to know, what is the best soil for grow boxes?
Anything that will grow plants. And so there's not just this one magical one. I bought an IFA branded raised bed mix a couple of years ago that worked really well. I've used Sunshine's raised bed mix. I've used Miracle-Gro product. So it's more just buying from a reputable company. And a lot of times you can get it a little less expensively with a private label. You know, if it's like an IFA or a Regan's or, you know, whatever nursery, mm-hmm. private label stuff is fine too, because it's oftentimes actually bagged by the same companies that cost 20 or 25% more.
He's also asking, because his boxes are about 16 inches high and they dry out really quickly, so he has to water them almost every day in the summer. So is there something more that he could do?
That's the life of raised beds.
Okay.
And so don't use any of the gels or anything. There's like these hydrogels that are supposed to hold more water. Well, they are wet, but they hold onto the water so well that it's not really available to the plants. And so when you're doing raised beds and using these commercial mixes, you know, watering several times a week is just part of the thing you do. Now, if you used potting soil, I can especially see the need. And so if you swapped over to a raised bed mix, I think you would need to water a little less often, unless it's just on a kind of really hot exposure on the south side of a building.
All right. Shane is messaging us. He wants to hydroseed his backyard this spring. He's concerned about an area on the north side of the home where they have a tall deck in the back. It's about 15 to 20 feet. Would you recommend planting a shade grass under that deck?
Well, it depends on how much sunlight gets under there. If it gets 5 or 6 hours of sunlight, then they could probably get away.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
With like a red fescue.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple like chewings or creeping red fescue would be fine. But if it's just deep shade and not even a lot of weeds grow under there, then turf grass won't either.
All right. Let's take a call from Nancy in Brigham City. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi.
Go ahead and ask your question.
Oh, well, I loved hearing about the blackberries. And
awesome.
We have actually had blackberries for about 45 years here in Brigham City. And they do great. And I have two questions. I got these from my dad. They were transplanted from some that he transplanted from Cache Valley. And he calls them dewberries. I want to know if that is true or just a local nickname, well, if there's a true dewberry.
There is, and it's one of the Pacific Northwest trailing blackberries. And
okay.
They're actually a slightly different species. And if they're doing well for you, I would just go ahead and run with it. Do they have a tendency to just run right along the ground, or they grow up and then bend over?
They grow up and bend over, and the only pruning we do is to keep them out of the sidewalk area so they don't bite everybody's ankles. But I wondered if you could tell me that variety that is so thorny and so hard to work with, because that sounds like what we have. I need to know the name.
Well, I can't guarantee it's the particular one, because there are lots of thorny blackberries out there. But
yeah,
the one that was bred by the University of Illinois that they named after themselves is called Illini Hardy, like the Fighting Illini.
Illini Hardy, okay.
Yeah, so that's
so
one
it's probably
put
not
along...
the one I have, because...
Yeah, you would grow that along fence lines to keep neighbors out and things of that nature.
Okay. Do you want to hear a dewberry story?
Sure.
I'll just tell you. It's quick. And it just verifies the hardiness of this plant. My dad had his dewberries for a long time and got disinterested in them. And so he stopped watering them, and he parked his cement mixer on top of them and pretty much neglected them for years. And then when we were putting a yard in Brigham, he asked if we wanted some. So we dug up some of these poor little neglected plants, and they have been thriving. So they are a tough plant.
They are. All right. Nancy, thank you for your call this morning.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next listener is in Cottonwood Heights. They say they're worried. They didn't put pre-emergent down in the fall, Ton, and they say it's been so dry, they're wondering if they need to wait till the next major storm and then put it on, and hopefully there will be enough moisture to let it sink into the soil.
Well,
would that be beneficial?
No, unless okay. They're doing something for, you know, they have annual bluegrass or a very specific situation. I'm glad they didn't put it down, because they would have just wasted their money.
Like your answer, no.
No. So, I mean, yeah, I would rather they've gone out to Wendover and put the 20 in a slot.
Would have been a better bet, huh?
It would have. So that pre-emergent for a lawn goes down sometime in early to mid-April.
Okay, so they did the right thing. And
they
did. And we have enough moisture now, don't we, that it shouldn't be a problem.
No, it shouldn't be a problem. But if they put it down now, all that's going to happen is it's going to peter out before they're going to get a lot of weed control out of it.
Okay. Next listener wants to know about pruning a hibiscus bush. It's about 7 or 8 years old, and it's never been pruned.
The renewal pruning. So they're going to take about 20 to 25% of the branches out toward the base and take the biggest branches out they can get. It doesn't need to be at ground level, but, you know, as close in as you can get. And I like using a Sawzall for this, because that hibiscus wood is hard. And just get some pruning blades from your local hardware store. And if they're only $3 or $4 for one, or a pack of three is like $10. And if you ruin one, oh well, you know. But these pruning blades are wonderful, because they're narrow and you can get in there to even where you can't get loppers.
Okay, let's take a call from Nick in West Jordan. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. Hey, so in our backyard, we just bought a house in October. And in our backyard, the lawn is really, really lumpy. And I'm trying to figure out a way to get it to be just a little bit more level, so that, like, when my kids are running around, they're not going to trip and fall over.
Well, is it more small lumps, or just in general lumpy like, because the reason I'm asking is because if it was more gradual in the lower areas, you could put a quarter of an inch of topsoil or sand down once a month to slowly raise the grade. But if it's something that's more like earthworms, then, holy cow, I didn't silence my phone.
I know, I've heard my text to you.
Okay, we'll silence that. But what I would recommend is, you know, finding out why it's lumpy. So on along those lines, what kind of soil do you have? Is it a fairly clay soil?
Yeah, I think it's fairly clay, and I believe that it may have been caused by a dog kind of digging in the backyard and kind of just digging throughout all the yard and then the grass regrowing in it.
Okay.
And so it's, some places it's really significant and other places it's not.
Okay, so another thing you could do is if it's more like dog holes and the grass filled back in, is you can actually get a spade and cut under in those areas and lift the grass out like it's sod. And then just get some soil and pack it in lightly and get it level and just put the grass on top of it. And you'll have, for a couple of months, you'll need to water more frequently. But you can, if it's holes like that, then you can easily fix them by just removing the grass, putting dirt down, and putting the grass back down on top of it.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. Nick, thank you for your call. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Looks like our texts are coming in very slowly, so you can either give us a call or you can also send us a direct message on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.